Welcome to the Digitally Sick podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Digitally Sick. I'm Alex Butler from Foundry 3. I have a regular partner in crime, Faisal Ahmed. Faisal, how you doing?
Yeah, all good. Everyone's all right.
Okay, cool. And we have Dave Hunt again, which is great. So Dave kindly came on to our podcast. It was a few weeks ago now. Probably the last one we did, though, so it would be difficult for you to find. And he's kindly come back, and we're going to do a few together. Because the response to the last one was really good. Dave, obviously been friends with you for a long time, but thank you so much for coming on to the pod. It's really appreciated.
Now I'm unemployed. Got a lot more time for conversations with you guys, so looking forward to having a chat and trying to drive this forward.
You know, I remember a brief period when I was unemployed, and I spent the whole time planning and doing stuff on what I was going to do next, and took no time whatsoever to actually enjoy the fact that I was unemployed. And now, because when I look back on that, I think, why did I not just? But you can't, can you? I suppose you've got to keep planning and moving.
Well, it's the pandemic. I'd love to be traveling, doing all these things, but it's just not quite the right time.
It's a very, very good thing.
But the garden is looking great.
How far are you from the beach?
About 10 minutes.
That's right.
So we get down there all the time with the dog.
Looking good.
And then I get grounded when I need to pick up his poo.
Well, look, today we're going to actually kind of tackle a slightly different topic, actually, which is that we're going to try and celebrate or talk really about positive things that Farm has done with regards to digital and innovation. COVID's bound to come up because it's actually been a really important driver, actually, in enabling change and in some ways forcing change, to be blunt. But it's also because it's so easy to start something off by saying Farmer needs to be better with this, Farmer isn't doing this good enough, Farmer doesn't understand this. And the truth is, it's ridiculous to generalise about the industry in that way. And also, it simply isn't true. And thirdly, I think it's to misunderstand what Farmer does. I think in COVID, it's been shown how amazing pharmaceutical companies can be in the way that they've responded to the vaccine, and in the way that with bureaucracy loosened, how quickly they're able to move and how quickly they're able to work. And to be honest, I'm just as amazed as in the kind of gene mutation focused therapies, for instance, in lung cancer or across oncology, as I am by the vaccine. The stuff Farmer does is amazing. So it's more a case of how do we celebrate that and how do we possibly build upon it. And Dave, I know I'm speaking your words, so to speak, as well, because we've spoken about this, but I didn't know if you wanted to kick off from the beginning as the, your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's a convenient excuse. And I think it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's a chip on our shoulder, and it's almost an excuse to not be as good as you can be. Mm-hmm. I've been fortunate enough to travel around the world and work with pharma everywhere, and I've worked with the most incredible people with unbelievable passion and determination. And I think if we come at this with a more positive outlook and celebrate what we bring to the world and celebrate our passion and our intent to help and support patients and communities, it will simply enable us to have a more positive mindset and do more incredible work, mm-hmm. as opposed to starting every conversation going, oh, we're really bad at technology, we're really bad at this, we're really bad at the other. I think we should celebrate our incredible creativity, celebrate our passion, and use that as a benchmark to do great things and stop hiding behind it as an excuse.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Spies, what about yourself?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think and we don't talk about this too much as well. If you look at the creativity coming out from the work we do, if you look at the creative festivals like Cannes, One Show, all the big sort of D&AD and stuff, the healthcare work, which is winning awards on there, is much better. There's loads more innovation and more creativity in the healthcare bit than there is in the consumer side of the awards. And we don't talk about that enough as well, I think. I don't know if you agree with that or disagree, but some of the stuff, I mean, at FCB, we put stuff into the main innovation awards and we won it 3 years in a row. There was so much over so many other consumer products and entries as well. So we don't talk about it enough. I think, and celebrate it enough. I think we celebrate it for a week while everyone's in the south of France. And then we just forget about it and say, oh, farmer doesn't do this, farmer doesn't do that. Actually, we've just created these amazing innovations that have changed patients' lives.
I think the creativity in our industry is very, very, very quickly catching up to other sectors, if not on par.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you where we are light years ahead in the progress that's been made. If you look at where the industry was 10 years ago and where the industry is today, I mean, it's incredible the progress that's been made. And I think if we can continue to do that, then I have no question the best ideas and the best talent will be working in the healthcare sector.
You know, it's interesting because having kind of done this now for 2 decades, there's two constant things, I think. First of all, when we're knocking down the industry really, of course, people do that because they're trying to position themselves as being someone that can make that better. You know, the industry's been rubbish, but I'm here, and now I'm going to institute this program and things, and I'm going to show you how we do things better. And that's fine, that's, I understand that. And the other kind of thing, I suppose, that comes out of it is, how can I phrase it, kind of, I don't know, diplomatically, is that, you know, the knocking of the work that we do by people outside of the industry as well when they come in, I think the complexity of marketing in healthcare is incredible with regard to the legal and the regulation, quite frankly, the ethical and moral aspects of this as well. Some people seem incredibly straightforward, so something as straightforward as have, you know, programmatic, you know, advertising, you know, where you want to, you know, completely revolutionize the way that we advertise the healthcare professionals, take out the way you think that kind of that digital advertising is good. Yeah, of course, if you're working in a consumer brand, all you're bothered about is how you're going to reach your target audience, how you're going to define that target audience, where how you're going to do it contextually through AI, through the other approaches that you can use to track people's work, you know, kind of across the internet and across applications. You can't do that with a healthcare profession because it's not ethically or regulatory allowed. So you can't just institute programmatic advertising. So I mean, that's a really boring example on purpose, because I've heard people come in saying if pharma could actually embrace programmatic advertising, it would revolutionize the way that it advertises its product. Well, you can't do that across Europe for a start. And even if you did it in the US, you'd need to make sure that contextually your ad wasn't served in a place that was wrong, either legally, regulatory, or ethically. So, you know, and as I said, I purposely picked a really boring example because, you know, it's easy to talk, you know, the more complex ones are, you know, like AI or even more so. But I don't know what you think about that, Dave. Obviously, you know, what you've done a hell of a lot of is try to bring this consumer marketing communication kind of innovative techniques to the pharma industry. I don't know whether you think I'm wrong or what do you think?
So someone told me a quote yesterday and I loved it. It was, a problem is just an opportunity wearing work clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's a pretty good insight in terms of like healthcare and pharma. And it's what you're describing. So it does take a certain like curiosity and a certain intent and a certain commitment to overcome those challenges, do incredible work.
Yeah.
But the best thing about the best creatives is they want the challenge.
Yes.
The best creatives in the world are going, I want to solve the toughest problems. And the other reason I think it's such an exciting space is because building brands all comes down to a human truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's a more compelling area to find a human truth than in health. So what you've got is the most incredible jumping off point to do some of the work we're seeing today.
Yeah.
So it goes back to my point that we should be confident and bold, and we should arrive at a notion that goes, you know, we're doing good stuff, and we're proud of what we're doing, and we can do more.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to say around that programmatic, and you're right, and you and I spoke much before around people do get lost in like technology and we should do this and do that and the other. A lot of people do talk about programmatic messaging. What I don't think they do anywhere near enough of is go, but what are those messages we're going to start, you know, that's going to be the basis for this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what is this content strategy that's going to build partnership in the advocacy with the clinicians that then we can apply programmatic intent to? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I think worth considering.
Yeah.
No, that's why I said, sorry, just really quick, definitely don't want people to get the wrong impression. What I said, take out whether you think digital advertising is good or not. I don't think it's good or bad. I think it could be brilliant. But to your point, yeah, what are you trying to say? What, and as a final point, the biggest challenge, I think, not just in pharma, but in B2B, is that if you're not solving a problem for someone in your communications, then you're unlikely to be able to engage them. Any kind of just, you know, message-based stuff is not going to, it doesn't work. Sorry, guys, go for it.
Now, I was just picking up on that as well, just obviously not on the programmatic and stuff, but
yeah,
we're we'll pick it. You got like farmers not doing XYZ to programmatics not doing XYZ. But Dave, in that Clubhouse talk you did a couple of weeks ago, there was one person, I forgot their name, I can't remember their names, but they said we need to be more consumer as well. And that's, do you see, I mean, it's a phrase you've heard for so long. And if it's like, we need to be thinking a bit more consumer, what is that thinking more consumer? And what consumer brands are doing anything good? Do you see what?
So I'm going to let Dave come in, but afterwards I want to tackle that, let's be more consumer, because I think someone that's just worked in consumer and just gone over, or someone that's never worked in consumer that says that. But Dave,
I totally agree with what you're just saying. Again, it's one of those cliched points and those like excuses. And it's like, maybe, so I look at different kinds of marketing and I look for a lot of inspiration in different sectors. And sometimes I think other sectors could learn quite a lot from pharma, because I actually love the fact that we need the necessary evidence and we have the necessary rigor to make certain claims and tell certain stories. I think there's a lot of other sectors that would benefit from that kind of discipline and that kind of integrity. And all we've got to do is combine it with some brilliant ideas.
Yeah, do you know what? I totally agree with you. And if you take an example of someone who's done a great job with what they've done, so let's take Red Bull. You know, they're moving from marketing excellence to content excellence, superb content strategy, superb partnership, sponsorship strategy, amazing focus on their target market and their wants and needs. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to articulate it brilliantly here, but, you know, Red Bull have done a great job. But at the end of it, they sell Red Bull, you know, and I'm not, you know, I don't have a problem with Red Bull. But my point is, you know, at the end of it, we might sell a medicine to keep someone alive for breast cancer. You know, and I don't think it's unfair to actually compare that, because there's that quote from Steve Jobs, isn't it, where he said, you know, you can either sell sugar water or you can come and change the world. Well, he did change the world, but pharma is also changing the world all of the time, and changing people's individual worlds all of the time as well. And I think that you're right, the actual ethical stance that needs to be taken, telling the right stories, we've not got to where we need to be. I don't mean that, but when you look at, if I don't know, I've had the unfortunate thing of having to look across certain consumer verticals of the kind of work that they do. Consumer marketing is often actually not very innovative, if I'm being, you know, be honest. You know, you're more likely to find uninnovative consumer campaigns. And actually often they get completely disrupted by new people coming in and totally changing the game. If you look at baby products, people came in and changed the game. Natural, organic, you know, focused around the mother and the baby, and totally changed what went for 20 years before. So I don't know, rant over on that, but I don't disagree with the person on a personal level, but I just don't think that is an insight that's useful.
One of the things I love that you talk about, Alex, and chat about this a little bit over the last couple of weeks, is it goes back to the same point. It goes back to this like inferiority complex that the industry has. And with that comes this, we've got to be something different. And I think when you talk about that, you're incredibly refreshing. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
In the sense of,
farmer's got to be tech. Farmer's got to be tech. It's got to be this. It's got to be.
No. I think it's really, really. I think all three of us have spoken about this, so you know, I'm not going to hog the kind of the time on it. But I just think that, you know, the focus on the actual technologies themselves is, well, both the technologies themselves and the jargonistic models themselves. So the technologies like AI. Why we're not doing more with AI? To go to and say, or we now move from multi-channel to omni-channel when we never actually implemented a multi-channel strategy, and we probably don't implement an omni-channel, but that isn't a criticism of pharma, because it's a misunderstanding of those two models and what we're trying to achieve with them, and yet in the consumer and other fields. I mean, AI is an obvious one that we need to use AI for. often when someone says that kind of thing, or that they have just used AI, if you look a tiniest bit beneath the surface, then you know you realise that there isn't massive understanding of what AI is in the sense of what you're talking about. We're talking about machine learning algorithm, we're talking about natural language processing, we're talking, you know, here about true, you know, kind of neural network kind of problem solving, and also the coding that goes behind it and the actual boring stuff that goes behind AI, which makes it very hard. A simple chatbot, and so let's do a chatbot. Well, to do a chatbot properly, even a good off-the-shelf chatbot, you need to have a log. And that log essentially is its learning mechanism. So, you know, if it's something it doesn't recognize or hasn't responded to well enough, the log is there to help the machine program learn. If you have a log, you need to go through that all of the time to check for people asking for help, people with adverse events, people where their drug isn't working properly. Loads of ethical and moral things to think about. It's not so even implementing something as basic as a chatbot that you can use on most consumer websites comes with massive ethical problems. You know, so I won't go into the models because it's too much of a rant for me. But I hope is that what you meant? Because I definitely think if you leaned on the technology, you totally missed the point of what we're trying to do, which is to help patients, healthcare professionals do their job better and care for patients better.
Yeah, I was meaning that, and also this notion of, you know. Again, we've spoken about this going, the work over the last 12 months by the pharmaceutical industry, the development of vaccines is absolutely incredible. It should be celebrated.
Yeah.
And the only people in the world who could have done that is pharmaceuticals.
No, you're right.
And it couldn't have been a Facebook, and it couldn't have been a Google, and it couldn't have been an IBM. You know, it couldn't have been all these people, because what pharma is brilliant at is these medical and clinical discoveries.
Yeah. Do you know what they Yeah.
And we should celebrate that. And what you were saying on that subject, I found fascinating.
Yeah. No, I think it's a cliche that we've all spoken about before. I'll go to Pfizer on this because I think we'll probably like it. Which is, along with the let's be more consumer, there's the either we need to be like Amazon, Facebook, Apple, or whatever, which is, of course, utter nonsense, or it's that Amazon, Google, Apple will be, you know, IBM will be the next pharma. Which, of course, is nonsense. There's no way they could be. I don't think they want to be. I think they want to be involved in healthcare. But pharma's brilliant in what it does. The amount of years of knowledge and expertise that goes into even being able to think about producing a vaccine within 12 months is insane. And yeah, pharma should be celebrated. Fives, if you want to... Feel free to disagree with me, of course.
No, I agree with you and The Amazon thing just annoys me when so many people put it in presentations. You need to be like Amazon, you need to be like Google. Amazon's number one priority is to get you to buy something, and the second priority is last mile, which is the shipping. Do you see what I mean? Making sure you buy it quickly and it's shipped to you straight away. And that's in their leadership team, right? So if you look at most of the leadership team at Amazon, the S team, the board, the guys who run Amazon, they've all come from the distribution center, or they've worked in distribution, and then they're controlling marketing, they're controlling AWS, etc. So it's like, it's like, let's be like Amazon. Amazon is a distribution technology company. That's what they're really good at and stuff like that. And I think the problem is we don't celebrate it enough. The problem is, I think, and I don't want to sort of bash pharma a little bit, but we hide behind celebrations. I mean, I've worked on a few CSR projects before, but the brief was not to give too much promotion to the CSR project, because they don't want too much PR, just because there might be a backlash. But the amount of money that, take it down a different tangent, the amount of money that pharma spend on CSR but they don't talk about it, it's amazing. And it's millions and millions per company compared to any consumer company. I think they spend the most on CSR. So they need to, I think we just need to celebrate a bit more.
I think the problem I have with CSR is its terminology.
Yeah, the terminology is bad. But if you look at if you look at what they're trying to achieve.
Expand on that by saying I totally agree with you. And I suppose what you're talking about is not just the millions that are spent on, I suppose, corporate social responsibility, but it's actually the human lives that they help.
Yeah.
Doing that, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. That goes along with that. It's, yeah. I think that's interesting. Right?
But no one talks about it.
Yeah.
No one promotes.
So great.
Yeah.
And I'm the same. I've worked on a number of things over the years where I'm going, this is amazing. The world needs to know. And there's just this absolute anxiety and paranoia about discussing it because it could be misconstrued. And it goes back to that, honestly, like that inferiority complex and that paranoia and that chip on the shoulder and that we're bad pharma. And if we say anything, then it's going to be like misunderstood.
Yeah.
And I agree. Yeah. I think we should be talking about what we've done and we should be celebrating things like the vaccine discovery.
100%. So, Dave, if you compare it to like P&G, if P&G do add one diverse person to their workforce, it's a global campaign. I mean, I exaggerate a bit, but anything they do, like if you look at the FMCGs, anything they do in that purpose-led world or any CSR or anything really good, they talk about it till the cows come home. They're literally, it's on TV, it's in the press, it's everywhere, it's all over social media. Whereas pharma actually do 10 times, 20 times more life-changing things than any FMCG.
And now is the time for this, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, on the back of the pandemic and the vaccines and saving society, that actually we start taking pride in our sector and pride in our industry and pride in the scientists and pride in our work. Because honestly, the one thing I know is it allows us to do more and better work.
Yeah. I think it's been a brilliant refocus as well on what's really important. Because I think this obsession with, you know, in quotes, innovation, and to some extent, this kind of award style culture where, you know, you want to be the first to do this or the first to do that. I think it's been genuinely damaging because in COVID, if you look across loads of work, across a number of different disease areas in that period, and one thing that ties them together is they tend to be rare and they tend to be specialists and they tend to be very high importance of the patient and the doctor in the sense of, you know, they're serious, either they're serious long chronic diseases or, you know, within oncology and stuff. And what's been brilliant, I think, is that if you look at oncology, you know, the key thing that happened when COVID struck is, how do I make sure I see my patients? How can I make sure I get the right consultations filled with my patients? How can I do the right tests and assessment? How do I triage to make sure I get the right, the patients come in at the right time when they're necessary? How do I make their prescribing decisions and medication decisions and make sure that the patient is responding in the way that I want, which covers telehealth things with consultation and assessment, telemedicine stuff with making clinical decisions, remote patient monitoring. The point being that these are really crucial. They need to be built with the healthcare professional and the patient, and they need to be integrated into clinical workflows, and they need to be able to be paid for. Actually, I wouldn't mind betting if you went back over loads of CAN or other award ceremony submissions in the digital health space, very few, if I'm sure there might be some, but I've dealt with it some myself. But anyway, very few take many of those boxes. You know, and most of them won't even be remembered. And so there can be a real reset now, because I'm seeing already pharma through the pandemic is literally supporting healthcare providers to engage on specific conditions with patients, helping patients work out how to use the technology, work out how to actually assess themselves and help in any diagnosis. And in a physical, literal sense, connecting the two and enabling healthcare to happen. And that is incredible. You know, that's a true partnership with healthcare provision. And that was not happening before. So I don't know. Maybe it's a refreshing reset. I think everyone's left the building, haven't they?
No, I think it is a reset. And I think it is an opportunity. And I wonder where we'd be now, you know, without the pharma industry over the last 12 months. And it'd be pretty bleak. And I think the innovation has been incredible. And I think when you compare it to some of the track and trace from the so-called like tech geniuses, it's quite interesting, really.
I could not agree with you. It's not to denigrate work that's been done there. It's just that, I mean, you know, Dave, I mean, I've been very, very passionate about digital health for over a decade now. But the truth is, a lot of it is a lot of promise and not a lot of delivery. You know, and that's the truth. Vice, anything you wanted to add to that? What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it could be a reset in the way things are, in the priority that people put on the things that are invested in?
Yeah, hopefully. I think it's a reset, and it's I think, sort of wrapping it up now and stuff, I think we should just celebrate it. Celebrate everything, what's happened over the last 12 months, the science. Celebrate the science of what everyone's done over the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think, celebrate the candid nature of all of the people involved. Celebrate the way that doctors have responded and nurses and carers. Celebrate the way that patients have responded. Make sure that we reinforce the things that they've learned, which is that you can actually, through technology, sometimes have a more humane personal experience with your healthcare profession than you can face to face. But also celebrate, to be fair, you know, we have to be fair. You know, people often get a real hard rap, regulators. You know, people in the US, they will know more about this than me, but people like Medicaid have stepped up, the government stepped up. They made sure that people could get access to consultation, access to better care. They made sure that doctors could get paid to do it at the right level. You know, everyone has, I feel, moved the kind of innovation on by the roadblocks that were in the way, both psychological, mental roadblocks, and bureaucratic roadblocks, and kind of technological focused roadblocks. A lot of them have been swept away, and we can't allow ourselves to go back after this to exactly as it was before. We've got to build on it. Any final thoughts, Dave?
Just that it's, for me, it's been the most refreshing 30 minutes in the last 15 years to talk about and take pride in us as a sector.
Mm.
And it feels quite liberating. And look, of course, there's challenges. And of course, this doesn't apply to everyone. And of course, there's shareholders and profits and all those things. But I'm absolutely convinced that we should be celebrating the impacts we've had over the last 12 months before that. We should celebrate the creativity and the progress it's made over the last 5 or 10 years. And I'm absolutely convinced with a positive mindset and with pride, we can do more, better, quicker.
Yeah. I think it's a really nice way to end. But is anything further or?
No, just, as I said, celebrate it.
Yeah, no, you're awesome. Really, well, look.
One more. What do we say to the next person who says we need to be a bit more like consumer?
Ask them why. Ask them why.
Yeah,
that's a very good point. That's a nice step. I was going to say I'll just ignore them and be polite, but that's a much better. About that one. You'll probably be told because we need to be more like Amazon, be a data business like Netflix, even though Netflix is not a big business. But
ask them why.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Dave. Thanks so much for coming on again. Really appreciate it. I really enjoyed the discussion.
This is one of three, right?
Yes, three. So all we need to do is decide what we're going to talk about in the next one.
We'll probably wake up in a bad mood and go, "We're terrible."
So thanks so much for coming on. Thanks, guys, again. If anyone wants to reach out to us, you'll know where we are. But thank you very much for listening, and I hope very much that you listen to the next one. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, guys.